When I was growing up, I had a gun that you put rubber bands on, you know, and it was like a six. You remember those guns? And you just pop, 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 and those rubber bands, you'd have like six of them loaded up, and that little key would just turn, and those rubber bands would shoot off. I remember growing up back in the days when, you know, we didn't have toys. I was raised out in the country, dirt farm, and no, I think I was always raised in the city. But anyway, the kids, you know, we did. Yeah, go to school, go to the ice cream store. I had to go 20 miles uphill both ways, you know. Didn't go to school, I'd go to ice cream. But we used to make guns with, you take the inner tubes and cut them in strips, and you'd make get a wood and, you know, put it into a gun shape and have nails and stuff on it. And you'd stretch that old inner tube out about like that, you know, you got a band that's about that thick, you know, you'd pull that thing back like that. And that was your gun that you'd use then, and it was cut up old inner tubes. That was your rubber band, really, you know, and those were pretty cool, you know. So all those things that we would use, rubber bands and elasticities of things. And so, of course, now you guys that are here today, who's here that wasn't here last week? You guys are all here. Okay. I'm just going to throw these out to you so you all know what it's about, okay? You got a particular color you like?
Oh, I don't care.
Don't care? It's for all of us. This is not just a Father's Day gift. these are examples and all. You guys want to? There's one for each of those. There. Here's. Oh, Tracy, all I got is this little rubber band. No, I've got more up here. I'm prepared. Man. I want to be able to give everyone these forever, how long we got to go, just because. There's one for you and your... Oh, here. AC, you want a different color? That way you... There you go. Here you go, Val. There's enough for everybody.
Thank you.
Okay. There's no magic in the rubber band at all. Well, you better.
I got
what color? You're stretching me, Al. You're stretching me. That's okay. Because. Okay. I'm gonna. How's that? Just those colors. That's okay.
Oh, that's my favorite color.
That's. Anybody else? I still got plenty. I'm okay. It's okay. And as long as I'm sharing about this, I'll probably keep supplying rubber bands. I don't know, you know. But I think it's important for what God has shown me and the purpose of what this is all about to remind me, because I've got to be reminded. And this was in the response of stretching for the things of God, stretching towards God. Because I already know that God stretches before me. Before we stretched before Him, before we reached out to Him in His Word and all, and by reading it and seeing it, and by that of Jesus, I see God already reaching down to meet Tim before Tim even knew there was a God and had any part of my life. So God has always stretched to meet us. My word to you is, do you ever stretch to meet Him? Some of us get so lackadaisical in our walk with Him that we only stretch when we need something. When an urgent request comes our way, or something happens, or be some kind of news that befalls us that's not good. Oh, now I got to stretch to God. And I need to really make this stretch fast. And that's okay, because God's there. That's the other thing that is wonderful about God, is His love and His mercy, that He's there to hear your cry and your call. My challenge to all of us, and my challenge to me, is that it doesn't take a catastrophic or a bad news or a bad phone call or something to get my attention that I need God. My challenge for myself and for each one here today is to always recall and to rely and to be continually stretching to God. What is that? And we'll get into some of these things, but it's stretching in your prayers. It's stretching in your faith. It's stretching in your service to His kingdom. It's stretching to do what He's asked you to do. Amen? Those are the things that we find that are necessary for us to stretch to have more of Him in our life. Remember my analogy of different types of rubber bands and different lengths and all that? And the size of the rubber band limits the ability to how far it's going to stretch. There's some things that my wife had when she was going through and came out of, and many of us here today have had these things, these physical therapy bands to stretch your legs and put it here and, you know, to stretch. And those bands are like this long just by themselves, and you can take those things and just stretch it. And you go to physical therapy, and each color has a different stretchability. Here's a purple one. That might be a little bit tighter than the green one. Here's a yellow one that might be a little bit snugger than, and they all have different levels and different effectiveness of stretching. Color-coordinated rubber bands. Rubber bands for physical therapy. So we find that in the natural, stretching is very much needed. Amen? I tried to listen to last night a little bit as far as what I shared last week, and I don't certainly want to cover a lot of repeat type things here, but I don't recall on the listening to it last week of what was in the physical and the natural that we look at, we find that stretching is very effective. It decreases the muscle stiffness and increases the range of motion. Stretching helps improve your range of motion, which may also be also slow the degeneration of joints. Stretching is very important. Think about that. Stretching is important in the physical. What about we parlay that over to the spiritual side of our lives? The things of God. Because we know our life and our times with God is in the spiritual realm of understanding of Him. We learn and grow, develop by reading His Word, and we do that really beneficially by having the infilling of the Holy Spirit to where we have a fullness of the measure of the Holy Spirit in us so that we can be led into all truth and be guided by God. Decreasing the muscle stiffness and increases the range of motion. As we stretch into the things of God, you will have an increased range of motion into the kingdom of God. Your life will have an increased development of abundance and blessings, believe it or not, amen? For God will be there to protect you and to guide you and to help you. Even though you have a struggle, even though you have a problem, adversity, stretching and being closer to God helps you go through that. It will increase your range of motion. I believe as we pray and stretch and pray and stretch our faith and pray and our faith is stretching and our time with God is stretching, that we will have a better range of motion with God. Amen. We will have more of Him in our life. It also, in the physical, reduces your risk of injury. We know that flexing a muscle is less likely to become injured when you do some exercise or when you do some kind of athletic event, doesn't it? You warm up your muscles. You get things developing and going. Because I'm going to tell you, if it's cold and you just take out running or doing something physically that you haven't done for a while or for, you know, a week or two, and you don't try to stretch out that muscle, you risk the possibility of damaging it. Because all of a sudden, that old muscle, it's got some, you know, the tendons and all these things that I don't understand in the body, but, you know, they're like this, and all of a sudden you take off running and you're going to stretch this. It's been like this for the last 6 months. You're going to start running fast and you're going to go, whoosh. Well, it'll go, whoosh. Well, maybe one time. And then it'll go, whoosh. Oh! Oh boy, I got to pull. I pull my muscle. Well, you should have warmed up. The things with God, I'm not expecting any of us, and I didn't certainly do this. Once I got in with God, I didn't run just full bore with Him, not understanding things and trying to develop and grow with Him. That's the important thing, is to develop and grow with Him on the basis of, you know, one step at a time, one situation at a time, one obstacle at a time builds up your faith muscles. You know? And that's what it's about. We've heard times told of pastors, and even Pastor Hoblet here would have said many times, I remember saying, that, you know, begin to stretch your faith muscle, begin to stretch your faith with a headache, with a sore toe, with a sore wrist, or whatever. It's a lot easier to begin to build up your faith in healing with that than to go through life and all of a sudden you get a news from the doctor saying, you've got this. Boom. Because if you got some major heart problem, some major cancer, some major whatever disease in your body that could more than likely take you out of this life, you're going to start praying. You're going to, oh, wow, I need help. And God, by His grace and mercy, will be there and help, and we don't understand all the things that God's about for sure, but I want to develop and grow. I want to develop my faith muscle in those things with Him so that no matter what comes my way, that I will be able to stand strong or use it as a time of growing and developing with God. It talks about count it all good for when tribulation comes, for it does. It builds and it stretches. It increases your faith. And so we are in this life to increase our faith. We go through stuff to increase our faith. Now the devil is the one that puts these adversities upon us, but God will say what the devil meant for good or bad, God says, I'll make it for good. So we go through a health situation. You lose a job. You're tight on finances. Your car breaks down. All these things that might happen. You know, your laundry piles up because your washing machine and dryer is broke. All these things. I mean, adversity comes no matter, you name it, it's there. But those things that the enemy wants to destroy and to get you out of the relationship with Christ or out of the relationship with God is he wants to destroy your faith. He wants to destroy that closeness that you have with God. And he will kind of come knocking at your door when you're a follower of Christ. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, praise God. But look out, you know. Sometimes we forget to tell that to the people that receive Christ and they have an enlightenment and their spirit develops inside and they are awakened by the, you know, the awakening of the spirit, the born again. But we got to let them know that, you know, be aware that you could have obstacles out there. You know, things are going to happen. Life happens, you know. And the enemy is there to see that. That enemy, don't you think that enemy sees that person receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and go, ooh, well, I got to get that person quick before they get too close to him. So I'm going to cause this and I'm going to cause that. How many times sometimes that you hear people that have received that relationship with Jesus Christ and about 3 weeks later they're saying, man, all hell has opened up against me. Or I have come across so much stuff in my life ever since I said, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. See, the devil is not concerned with bothering everyday folk out there that are outside the realm of the kingdom. He doesn't need to attack them. Although they understand they are being attacked when they have problems and all that, they just think that's life. They just think that's the luck of the draw. You know, that's just what happens. But give a person salvation and let them build a relationship with Christ, now the devil's got to say, well, I've got to try to take that person out. I've got to try to destroy that faith because they have got a hold of him. And the devil knows that the more you have of God, the less you're going to be controlled by him. Or you should. So the devil loses his base of people. You know, you're thinking of, we're not going to get political here, but think of it as the political base, you know. You go for God, all of a sudden the devil side of the base of the political, or the base of the people that he's got is going, oh wait, they're all going over to that side. I got to destroy that. I got to do something. And so the devil starts throwing things at us. But as we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, as we look at these things of developing our spiritual muscles, the things that are going to get us through, amen, to get you through your exercise, to get you through your athletic event, it's going to take duration of building up for it in the natural, and then even though you've built up for it and you've practiced it and you've exercised towards it for the last year to go on this one event for the Olympics, or you've been in this mode for the last 3 or 4 years of practicing and training to go into the Olympics. A lot of these people train for how many years for just a one-time shot in the Olympics? That is dedication, isn't it? They see something out there that they want. They see the prize. They see the gold. Not too many people really in the beginning of their developing are saying, I'm going to go to the Olympics, whether it's the winter or the summer or whatever event they're in, and they're saying, I just hope I go there and I just have a show or a place. No, everybody and every athlete that goes there, generally on every team and every event, they all have one goal in mind, the gold. to win number one. They might come up with second or third. But how many they say, well, that's better than nothing, but I really want it gold, you know? I don't know how you train to just get third. How do you do that? How does someone go through training just to get third place? I think that person that's getting third is probably going to try it as hard as the person that got first. It's just whatever happens in their abilities and things of that nature. But our walk and our time and our development with God, we've got to decide that I want gold with God. Amen? I want the top prize with God. And it's not that I'm out there to get all these things and God's going to give me the, you know, well, he's got a crown for me and all that's waiting up there for me and all these things. We all have these things and a good mansion and all this, I guess, you know, when we get to heaven. But I want to be more concerned with the things of God on this side of heaven. I want to be able to be his representation here on this side of heaven to help other people. Because I've got something that they don't have if they don't have Christ. I've got eternal life that I can help them and guide them into. And so that's what this thing's all about. We have to help and develop. But we can only be good kingdom people if we stretch. You can only be a benefit to the kingdom, really, to full potential. And that's the thing. Do you want to be you're using the full potential that God has given you to benefit the kingdom of God? And really, what he's given you is what he's got, and he's going to give it to you. Or do you just want to get by and just, well, if I get there, if I do that, that's fine, that's okay, no big deal. And there's a lot of people out there that just say, well, I just want to get by through church, or I just want to get by through this walk, and then I'm, you know, I got the fire insurance, you know. When I die, I'm at least going to go to heaven, you know. But there's much more to life here on this side. Stretching the muscles, less tension. Pray more to God. You will have less tension in your life. Stretch towards God in these things, and you will have less tension. You will have tension, but you will deal with it differently and better. Amen? Okay, we get into, what about this? Oh, my goodness. It lowers back pain and shoulder pain and chest pain. It improves posture. It does all these things as we exercise. It reduces the tension and enhances muscular relaxation. It improves mechanical efficiency, overall performance. Prepares the body for stress of exercise. All these things that we can do in the natural to help us physically, if we would turn this around, as I believe God showed me this last week or two back about stretching to him, is that it will help you go through problems. It'll help you become, you know, a winner in the things of what's going to come across your path as a follower of Christ. I like this. I shared last week Acts 17:28. We're not going to go there, but it's in him we move and have our being. In him we move. As you move through this life, you have your way. It's with him, and him he's living in you. We talked about this in Isaiah 54:2. Talk about enlarging the place of your tent. Now I want to go into some of these things, especially. I think that's where I was at. Exodus, was it? Oh, man. Exodus 9:29. Just quickly. Or no. Hold on. I got my stretch here. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Let's go to 7:19. In 7:19, oh, wait a minute. My whole thing is messed up here. Stand by. It's going to be 54. Are you guys going through Exodus quite a bit? 54 too? I don't know what happened there. Well, wait. No, did I say Exodus? Yeah. Is that why I'm having a hard time finding it? Isaiah. Duh, I'm in Isaiah and going, or in Exodus. I'm going, where is this at? Gee, no wonder my numbers are all coming up messed up. I tell you what, I'm stretching here. I was trying to stretch Exodus to have a 54 chapters, huh? Hey, come on, it can happen. Okay, Isaiah 54. We're going to Isaiah 54:2, where it says, "Enlarge the place of your tent." Now, you know, you look back in Isaiah and you talk about prior to that, we're finding the desolation. We're finding the things that what God is doing. He's redeeming Jerusalem. He's helping the people there, and he's finally telling them there's going to be some things that happen that I'm going to take care of. So in Isaiah 54:2, he says this, "Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings and do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. And for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame." And it's just going on to help the people understand they've come out of a serious time of lack or just desolation and the things where they've been. And the Lord is telling them, or God is saying, you're going to stretch out your tent. You need to get ready for something that's going to be bigger than what you have right now. We find that in our lives today, that God has much more for us in our life today than we understand. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has more for you than what you even comprehend right now? We've got to have that understanding and that thought process that this is not what all life is about. This is not where God just brings us and plops us here and says, well, I'm done with you, and this is the way it's going to be. In our life of today, the things that we have to go through, and sometimes it's a struggle. Even our Christian walk sometimes can be a struggle as we deal with things, because life is not easy, is it? We have to work through things. It's not just a happy-go-lucky life to be a Christian. You've got to understand there's going to be some things that you've got to deal with, things that you've got to put under your feet to be able to conquer the things that the enemy wants to destroy. You know, he wants to destroy the things in the positiveness. He wants to come against you in good and prosperity and health and home and family. How many homes have been destroyed because of relationships of kids and the moms and the dads? How many homes have been destroyed because of financial catastrophe, and all of a sudden that has happened and just basically choked that family, and they've lost what they've had? How many times health and medical stuff has come in and taken away and stolen what God has meant for you to have good? Amen. You know, and we've dealt with that. And people in our body, you know, right now, even the ones we've asked for prayer today, you know, going through physical situations and physical things in their knee and, you know, falling and dealing with, you know, fractured pelvises and headaches and all these things that we deal with. That's life, and that's the things that are happening day in and day out. And it would be great if we could advertise, if you come to Harvesters Church, you will never have another problem in your life. We would probably have to start building. We would have to expand our tent, you know. Let's do it. Let's expand. The Lord would say, take down those walls. You know, that was interesting because back 10 years back or so, I guess, the Lord had showed me, I had a dream about something along that line of the building, and I could truly see the building as it sat here, and a fire had come in into the building, and what really astounded me, and I just was like sitting out there looking at the building going, wow, this is interesting, and walking through the building, I go, wow, this is interesting, is that the front and the back wall were still there, but the side walls were gone. I go, well, okay, Lord. And that came about the time to where when Pastor retired and I came in, and I think the Lord was just showing me that, you know, here's a current work, but it's a new work. And the thought process was, as I sat with God and kind of pondered these things, I just didn't understand it. But it's like, your sidewalls are gone. What does that mean? I thought, well, that means you can spread out. There's no limitation. You know, the front and the wall, the back and the front wall were there. What does that tell me? That kind of was given to me, there was stability. There was still a definite definition of a, you know, the church or whatever was still here. But through that fire that came, and that was of God, it was one of these things, both ends are gone, and you come into the building and it was kind of like just open. Everything was gone. It was like the Lord was speaking to me. It says, it's that ability to where you can come in and the foundation is there. The structure that I've started as my kingdom is there. But as you come in and take over the reins from the former pastor is that things will change and there will be opportunities to change out some things within the building itself, and it's going to be the opportunity for that to expand left and right and cover as far out as God wants to cause it. Amen? So that's those things that I see at times by God and the Spirit in these areas. I remember talking one time where Pastor had a dream, and he was explaining it and explained it to us as leadership. And I, one time, and there's a lot more in leadership at the time that was there. And so I asked the Lord, I thought, well, that's pretty cool, Lord. And I asked him, and we were getting ready to go on vacation or go down and see my in-laws. And so we were down there, and I just asked the Lord one day, or as I was driving that way down there, but I said, Lord, would you just give me a dream similar to Pastor's that would kind of help me understand what it is that he was seeing. That night, I had a dream very similar to what Pastor had shared. Now you'd say, well, that's because you heard what Pastor said. Well, it wasn't exactly the way Pastor had said it for what he saw in it, but the Lord showed me in that dream a similarity to it and what it was talking about, and it showed me things about what was being in the body of Christ at that time, and a service that was taking place, and it was a long haul, and there was a lot of people, and there was like partitions in that area, and people were going back to this, back to this, back to this, and whatever. But God was showing me these things. I ask. So I want to encourage you. I want to stretch you guys. When you don't understand something, or you want more of an understanding of something from God, ask him. Do not be afraid to ask him. If he has shared something, if you've seen something in your spirit, just say, Lord, I don't understand it. Show me. You know, I'm stretching to God. Well, maybe I'm stretching God to me, and I'm saying, okay, God, I'm stretching. Stretch and meet me there in the middle or something, and let me just see what your plan is. Amen? Now, he won't show you all the beginnings to the end, because if he would, you would not be able to understand it and comprehend it. If he had shown me everything from the beginning to the end of this work at this church, and when he left, and how he was going to leave, and where he was going to be, and all this, I would have probably gone the other way and said, it's not my time, Lord. But God knows just how much to show you, to keep you encouraged, to give you an insight, to give you strength, to give you assurance, to give you a peace of mind, to know that he's God and that his plan is there. Amen. And God has that plan for each and every one of you in your personal life, in your job, in your families, in whatever it is. God has that plan. And don't be scared of it. And he's not going to reveal the whole thing to you. And that's okay, but he will reveal enough to you that I believe, by what I've been through with him, to give you enough encouragement and enough understanding to say that, okay, God, you're God, and it's in your hands. That's all we've got to do, is we've got to stretch to the point of saying, I don't need the whole disclosure of how it's going to happen, God, but I just need enough stretch to understand that it is you that's calling me. It is you that's part of this situation. It is you that is the answer to the solution, or the solution to my answer to the need that I have. That it's not man, it's not my job, it's not my spouse, it's not money, it's not having health, it's not having good things and all this stuff in my house and all that. That's all well and good, but the true answer that I have, God, is you in my life to fulfill what you want out of my life. And God loves you enough, he loves us enough, that he will even bless you to things that, you know, you have to sit back sometimes and go, wow, God, you're awesome. Stretching, though, with God is required to be that way. You can't just sit and come to church every Sunday and just sit, hear a few messages, and go, well, that was good. That's been for the guy behind me. I believe most of these things that God's Word comes to us about is to help each and every one of us in some facet of our life. Not across the board, everybody's the same way. But everyone here, in a facet of your life, like that of a diamond, has many facets. Your life has many facets. And one of those facets, one of those faces of that diamond in your life, God's Word is addressing, God's Word is reaching into, and it's up to us to say, Lord, how? Lord, when? Lord, yes. Are you willing to stretch enough to God to say, I trust you? We walk out our walk with God with trust and faith. do you need to stretch that faith? Stretch your trust with the things that God has for you. I'd shared in the scriptures that are there. We've talked about the stretching of the rod across the river and it dried up, and then they crossed and the stretching of the rod and it flowed back in. Remember, in they're going into Canaan and told Joshua to go and have the people go and take the ark, you know, the priest that had the ark, take them, and as soon as they stepped their foot into the water, what happened? Stretch. I'm sure when they're walking, when you walk, you're actually stretching. You know, you're walking, you know, you're doing something. But could you imagine you're carrying that, the priests are carrying the ark, the Levites, they were in charge of it. They took that and they took that stretch of faith. They took that stretch of stride into that water. The water was still there, wasn't it? It wasn't pre-dried up to where all of a sudden they got like, this is the water level here. And it's like, well, I'm like two steps from it. All of a sudden God went and dried it up and they just kept walking. No, the water was flowing and their foot was just above that water and their foot went into that water, but as soon as it hit the water and hit the base of that base of the ground, evidently just everything stopped. And that showed us that it did not just stop in that 2-foot area where they were at or that 3-foot area. Remember on our studies and what we talked about in that, how far back did that water stop? It was, I don't know, like a mile, or it was stopped up the stream several hundred feet. I think it was like a mile or 12 miles or something like that. I can't remember. I'd have to look back in my notes. But all I need to tell you is just where they stepped was not where it stopped. But when they stretched into that Jordan, it stopped miles upstream to the left and to the right. It just stopped so that the whole, well, remember, there was like how many millions of people going through there. So you're going to have to, you need more than just like a 6 or 3 foot or 8 foot path to get millions of people through there. But they stretched. So we find that God has told people many times, what I've asked you to do, it's going to take faith. What God has asked us to do, you've got to know that you know that you know that you're hearing from God and not some crazy spirit out there. Amen? But you will know that you're with God and God is with you with your time with Him. And when you get to know Him, when you have a relationship with Him day in and day out, to where it's not just a weekend relationship, it's not just a holiday relationship, it's not just a relationship once a year, you will never develop a relationship with God if that's the case. Because if you were married and had a relationship with a man and a woman and you only came together once or twice and came to know one another and had a meal or whatever and twice a year, your relationship would be pretty lacking. You know? It's the day in and day out with a person. It's the week in and week out with a person. It's the same way with God. It's our day in and day with God, our week to week with God. It's being with God in the good times. It's being with God in the bad times. And when you're there, usually with Him in the bad times, that's when He's going to stretch you to the point of where you will make it through that time if you allow Him. Now, if you've only been with Him a short time or only you've been with Him a long time and longevity, but remember, here's a rubber band that I broke last week. You know, it was good for short times with God. But then, you know, as I looked at it and now my band was like this, it's like, well, that's a pretty good time with God. But all of a sudden, if I went out too far and I really needed to stretch with a problem that I had, look what happened. I just pulled a tendon. I just pulled a muscle. And now I'm going, oh God, this hurts. Oh God, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to get the prize, Lord? You know? Ow, that hurt. So this is a point in a process to where you begin to stretch. If you're just a rubber band of faith, of prayer, or whatever, of getting in with God is only this far, well, praise God for it. I'm going to say, hallelujah! That's good. Because there's some people out there that don't have that stretch with God. There's some out there that deny that thing with God. So you've got this, that's good. But let's keep growing and eventually get into this. And then if, you know, like Dan was sharing last week, you know, you can get some rubber bands that are like, go across this room just about, you know. Wouldn't that be awesome for faith and just time with God? As we look at some of this here, let's drop down here. What is God asking of you to stretch? Think about that. What is God asking you to stretch? We have all kinds of things that we need to think about. What does God want us to stretch? Here's a... I found this online when I was looking through this. It's an object lesson of the rubber band. One of the key characteristics of a rubber band is that it is stretched. In fact, a rubber band isn't much use unless what? It's stretched. Remember I said, well, some of us have faith and some of us are walking things with God with like a security tie where it gets closer and closer and it's cinched down to where pretty soon I can't open it and I can't close it anymore. It's been used. There's nothing more I can do with it. If I want to use whatever, I'd have to just cut it off and what? Get a new one. But my walk with God being that of a rubber band that has elasticity and development and stretching, this thing will stretch and get bigger and maybe after that time is stretched out to the point where it's met its max with God, I believe supernaturally God will give me a bigger rubber band. A bigger one. Because he's going to say, oh, Tim, you're stretching with me. And that's what I want to see. But now I want to stretch you a little bit more. So here's a rubber band that's this big. Well, it's pretty good right now, Lord. Then all of a sudden he's going to say, but you're going to need it because now it's going to be stretched out this far. The same God that was with me when I stretch it this way, to this way, to this way, he's the same God through every stretch. Amen. He's that, call the stretch a problem. I don't care what you call it, but every time I've got it, I have to deal with it. God is there and he will see me through it, won't he? What are the things that we use rubber bands for? Put things together, hold things together, keep them organized, shoot people one another. Kids use them for battle. Why are rubber bands ideal for these things? Well, they're good. You can just stretch them out and they'll snap around something and keep it clustered together. What happens to a rubber band after it's stretched many times? It loses some of that elasticity. You need another one. That kind of tells me that my faith and my walk with God, it has to continually improve or grow. Because what was good for me 3 years ago may not be good for me 3 years from now. But it's not that my God is going to leave me in my own ways. He will stretch me and grow with me and develop me and help me by his word, helping me grow and develop by seeing these examples of Jesus saying to that man with that withered hand. This was on the Sabbath day too, where he was in that synagogue and they said, well, is it? God, is it right to heal a man on the Sabbath? And we go through the discourse, would a man leave a donkey or something like that in a well or not save it? And I read that, and just reading it here again this morning, is all it doesn't say in my Matthew here, it says that Jesus touched it, rubbed his forehead, reached in and had it. It was like Jesus just coming to like the Willie here, and he just say, stretch forth your hand. One hand was good, this one he couldn't. So Jesus just told the man, well, stretch forth that hand. And it said he stretched it forth and it was like that of the other hand, which was useful. So it tells me and it shows me we can lay hands on people, good. Lay them with oil, good. We can pray for them by that of the Spirit or God moving mightily in his manifestation of his power, of his Spirit in a place. And guess what? He can touch people in their infirmities. Does not take me all the time or any one of us has to touch and pray and lay hands on somebody to heal them. Jesus was a great example of that. It's not that he didn't do those things and touch those things or, you know, made the blind eye see by spitting in some mud and wiping on the guy's eyes. If you're blind and you can't see, let me know and maybe we'll go out here and I'll try that. Let me put some mud on your eyes. But we see that God or Jesus used multiple things of how he addressed situations. And it gives us all an insight as to how God moves. God moves in each area differently than maybe he did in the last time. That way it tells us that you cannot put God into a box or into a little square and say this is how God works all the time. Because it's in the situation at hand, it's what God wants to get across, it's how God wants to prevail into that situation, it's how God wants to receive the glory, it's how he's going to address that situation that he does. And all glory goes to him no matter what anyway. Hallelujah. Oh my. Just as a rubber band becomes more useful when it's stretched, God also stretches us to make us more effective and uses us more fully for His glory. That's what it's about. It's not for my glory. It's not to make a name. It's not to make Harvester's Church big. Remember I said if we advertise that every time somebody comes here, they get healed and everything's totally good and this is nobody has a problem in Harvester's Church, everybody would come, the doors would be broken down, we'd have to have service 24 hours a day. People would just be coming in. Now that'd be great if that's what God wants to do, and if He would do that, hallelujah, we'll let Him. He's God. But it's not that. But it's one of these things that, you know, we find out the usefulness of what God wants from us. When you stretch, you expand your usefulness to God. See the scriptures below, and that's what I've got here that we're not going to get into right now, is looking at some of these things, but I've shared just a few of them. When God stretches us, He is not making us somebody that we do not want to be. He is actually stretching us to be the person that He has created us to be. When you work with your kids, when you try to give them the right way to live and the right way to go and how to live and how to take on life, you're giving them the tools of how to make it through this life. They're looking at the parents as an example. I look at my parents as an example. My parents looked at their parents. All this is of growing and developing is learning from one thing to another. And so many times, and we already know this as parents, and as we wrap up for today, is this, that as much as we want to tell them, do as I say, not as I do, I'm trying to help you from making a mistake, the kids still need to make a mistake. Just resign yourself to it. Don't bat your head against the wall saying, why don't they just listen? We're trying to tell them. They just have to learn. And you only learn riding a bike when you fall like two or three times and skin your knees, really. I remember being taught how to ride a bike. You know, my brother was behind me and he were going down the street and I don't know, I was a little kid. The bike was only like this big, but it had no training wheels. They took the training wheels off. I don't even know if I had training wheels. So I'm going down the street. So my brother's behind me, he's holding the seat, and he's going, and I said, okay, I'm going to let go. I said, okay, let go. Well, I was pedaling, keeping my balance, pretty cool. I'm going, he's back there, I'm going. I get, I don't know, way down here, ways, and I go, well, how do I turn it? It's like I was riding the bike, but I did not have the ability or the think within myself that I felt like I was balanced enough to where I could turn it, because when you turn it, you have to change your balance structure and everything, you know. So I was going good on line straight, but it's like, and my brother had to run after me and stop me. I couldn't turn that sucker. I just kept going. How do you turn it? Turn it. I go, turn it? What? I was like,